This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Over the last 30 years, the St. Louis Zoo has bred many thousands of animals that zoo visitors don't see. Partula snails. They're tiny creatures the size of number two pencil erasers, and once they reach the right stage of life, they're flown about 16 hours across the Pacific where, fingers crossed, they not only keep living, but making very many more little partula snails. During a release effort earlier this month, a conservation team, including folks from the St. Louis Zoo, made an incredible discovery. On the island of Moria, they found a snail species that went extinct in the wild in the 1980s. This snail was special because it was unmarked, meaning it was the offspring of snails that were reintroduced to the island. This snail wasn't born in an insectarium, but out in nature. St. Louis Zoo invertebrate keeper Anthony Oliveira was with the group that found the snail.
Seeing an unmarked snail, it took a while for it to even just register with me that there's a population of snails that were once extinct in the wild that are now established. So that really represents the culmination of the program's efforts. And yeah, it was really humbling to see the fruition there. And there's only a group, about 10 of us there. Sort of celebrating. There was a small smattering of applause. We had some different hikers walk by and ask us what we were up to, and it was neat to relay that enthusiasm to them as well.
Several more snails of the same species were found in the coming days. The Consortium of Zoos, alongside Tahiti's environmental government organization, says this discovery means the snail species can now be moved from extinct in the wild to the critically endangered category. And now it joins the very short list of species that have been successfully reintroduced after becoming completely extinct in the wild. Here to talk with us about the significance of this discovery and the global effort to reintroduce several snail species to Tahiti and neighboring islands in French Polynesia is Kayla Garcia. She's the zoological manager of invertebrates at St. Louis Zoo. Kayla, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks so much, Elaine. I'm happy to be here.
So what was your reaction when you got this news?
Well, first of all, it was actually pretty funny because we have a fairly active WhatsApp group, so I could follow along with the researchers on island. And this is the kind of news that you work your whole career for. Mm-hmm. This is an amazing discovery, an amazing accomplishment, and you can't help but feel all of the good feelings coursing through you.
Mm-hmm. And I feel those good feelings as we're sitting across from each other. Now, why is it, to kind of take us back, why is it that several species of partula snails went extinct in the wild to begin with back in the 1980s?
Sure. So it's a pretty somber story. What ended up happening was there was another species of snail called the giant African land snail that had been introduced into Tahiti as well as Moorea that was introduced for food, actually. They're a pretty big snail, a pretty meaty snail, French Polynesia being part of France. Escargot is a pretty desirable food. Unfortunately, this particular snail eats a lot of other plants, started becoming an agricultural pest. It reproduces very quickly. About 10 years later, the agricultural department decided to introduce another species of snail, but this was a carnivorous snail, a snail that eats other snails. So rather than going after the giant African land snail, these rosy wolf snails, which are actually native to Florida, went after the small, kind of tender, unprotected partula tree snails, the mm-hmm. Polynesian tree snails. And within about 10 years, they pretty much ate them almost entirely to extinction.
Mm-hmm. Now, in 1990, St. Louis Zoo initiated the Partula Species Survival Plan to manage the Partula snail populations on a national scale. What is it that that plan consisted of, Kayla?
Sure. So back in the early stages, our previous general curator, Ron Gellner, who was also very active in hellbender conservation, became the SSP coordinator for the species here in the United States. Our partners in the UK and Europe are very active in managing the other species of Partula that are part of the program. But we kind of talk to each other, all the zoos that are a part of the SSP. It's six of us total, including St. Louis currently. We have to track the populations. We do monthly census counts of every single snail, mm-hmm. And record that information and post that, share that with the international instead of a keeper. We talk amongst each other to better understand how we can manage our populations, what we're doing individually. We just become kind of this consortium of engaged and interested folks who are here to help make sure that our particular species continues to be able to survive within our zoo populations.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that St. Louis Zoo got involved in the effort to bring Partula snails back from the brink of extinction?
So it was actually a group of scientists who had been studying the Partula snails. They were an important group of animals for scientists who study evolution, particularly adaptation and mutation on islands. These snails being very small and being found in Tahiti and Morea and other French Polynesian islands. It's a very mountainous country. The mountains are from volcanoes. Each valley that is present can have a different species of snail. So those scientists were studying these snails and were there to kind of sound the warning that the Partula were getting eaten by the rosy wolf snails. I don't think we would have really been able to recognize that if the scientists hadn't been actively studying this entire group. So a call went out basically to save, an SOS to save our snails from that and complete extinction. Mm-hmm. So when that call went out, St. Louis was one of the institutions that answered and made it available for us to be able to take on some of the snails.
Mm-hmm. Now, for the latest reintroduction effort in Tahiti, St. Louis Zoo coordinated the shipment of more than 3,200 of the Partula nodosa snails from U.S. zoos to Tahiti, including about 1,000 snails that were raised here at the St. Louis Zoo. Now, at the zoo, the snails were raised in containers with paper liners, and routinely they'd be misted and fed a nutritional powder. Invertebrate keeper Anthony Oliveira says it was incredible to witness the snails being released into their natural habitat.
So our species was released in Papehue Valley. So it was a pretty dense, a lowland jungle environment. Gosh, Tahiti was just had so many waterfalls and streams. So they were released onto some favorable trees right next to this stream. And to get to be out in their natural habitat, release them and see them immediately do their thing, start climbing the trees and feeding on the dead plant material and fungus. It's very rewarding.
The Partula nodosa snails raised in St. Louis are still extinct in the wild. And if I'm not mistaken, the ones recently found are Partula Toviani snails?
Partula Toviana.
Toviana. Does the discovery of wild-born snails in other Partula subspecies, does that give you hope that in future trips to the islands, we might discover the progeny, the very mini-me's of a snail that came from the St. Louis Zoo?
Absolutely. That's one of the things that we are most looking forward to in the future. What separates Nodosa from some of the other snails that are currently part of this program is they're a rather cryptic species. They are good at hiding, and they are also very good at going straight up into the trees, which Anthony alluded to. Mm-hmm. So when you picture trying to find these small pencil eraser-sized snails in the canopy of a tropical jungle, it is difficult, which is why we started painting them with a special paint in the first place. But we have some strategies moving forward to actually look at employing some tree climbers to go up into the canopy to better be able to survey to see if we do in fact have a breeding population of Nodosa just out of reach. Mm-hmm.
What does that paint look like? I'd like to sort of see it.
Sure. So it's a UV or ultraviolet fluorescent paint that we dot on each snail prior to its reintroduction. That's what Anthony was working very hard on in the lead up to his travel. But when you take a black light flashlight and shine it on the snails, they actually glow. So this year, that little paint that we used was yellow, and we used a different color every year so we can keep track of which snails were from which years.
Mm-hmm. Must have been a very small brush.
Yes. Yes, it was.
So it's not just St. Louis Zoo employees involved in this project. There are some longstanding volunteers who have taken quite a liking to the Partula snails, and that includes Ellen Miller, who has volunteered in snail rearing at the zoo since 1992.
I think most people think I'm nuts for hanging in here so long, but I enjoy it. It's part of my identity. I'm Snail Lady.
Ellen enjoys watching how the snails move and looking at their different shell patterns. She also says their history is quite interesting.
There were scientists who thought they were important enough to collect when they saw they were becoming extinct. And they started collecting them, and then you'd find out little facts like they were named for the Roman goddess Partula, the goddess of fertility. And these are hybrid animals, which means they really shouldn't be able to reproduce. Like a mule is a hybrid animal, but they do, and they're genetically fascinating.
So, Kayla, we just heard the pro-Partula case, as it were, from Ellen. But what do you think? You know, why should we pay any mind to a species of a tiny snail that's native to an area that's more than 5,000 miles away from where we live?
So what I like to talk about when this question comes up is that these snails are part of a larger environment. They are one piece in this puzzle, and you never know what happens when you take a piece of that puzzle out of any environment. And what happened with the Partula snails is something that happens all over the world. We don't always know about it because people might not be studying certain animals the way the Partula were being studied, but we have similar things happening here in the United States. It's a cautionary tale that we should be aware of what's going on even in our own community and take care about what we purposely or even inadvertently accidentally bring to our own local ecosystems. Mm. It can have a really negative impact on not just the environment, but on us if we're not careful.
We're speaking with Kayla Garcia. She is the zoological manager of invertebrates at St. Louis Zoo, and we're discussing very recent exciting news about a tiny little snail that has been recommended to be taken off the list of extinct and to critically endangered. Now, the St. Louis Zoo, Kayla, also invites young people to participate in the Partula snails Species Survival Plan, SSP. I think you were calling it that. My colleague's son actually participated in the captive breeding program at the zoo when he was a high school junior about 6 years ago. Is there anything that folks can do to contribute in some way to the reintroduction of Partula snails?
Well, first of all, that's wonderful to hear. We have used our teen volunteers in the past and are looking to be able to do that again in the future. We had a little bit of a stop due to COVID, but I'm so glad to hear that. One thing that people can do is support our overall conservation programs. Our Partula Snail Program has its own branch within our larger Wild Care Institute. That's mm-hmm. our department that focuses on field conservation projects around the world. And if folks are interested in learning more about what we do for conservation for these snails as well as for other species, I would recommend that you reach out to our director, Lisa Kelly. But I would say another thing that anyone can do is take care of the environments that you have around you. Like I was saying earlier, it really does have an impact on a broader scale. And if you are interested in potentially volunteering, that's something that we can also field through our volunteer program. We do have openings from time to time if you would be interested in working with the Partula in mm-hmm. the future.
So the project is working as intended because snails reintroduce the wild, they're breeding, and wild snails are being born. But what are some of the plans maybe to protect the Partula snail from those predators that took them out in the first place, like, you know, the rosy wolf snail? I mean, is laying off escargot part of the solution?
So I would say if you're a fan of escargot, making sure that the snails that you're eating are raised sustainably and kept in places where the chances of them escaping cultivation is not an issue. In terms of the future threats for our little Partula, we are always thinking about ways that we can protect them to the best of our ability. Now, the rosy wolf snail, it is incredibly difficult to ever be able to eradicate, but their numbers are much, much reduced, in part because we believe they ate most of the snails that would have been their food. Mm-hmm. So they kind of self-selected themselves out. However, there are always the opportunity for new threats, new predators. Another introduced species, a type of worm, a flatworm, will also eat Partula snails and other snails. It's actually spreading right now in the United States. In the South, Florida and Texas, it's called the New Guinea flatworm. But we manage to minimize those threats by focusing our efforts in certain areas where they're not as prevalent. We use salt barriers to keep the flatworms from crawling up the tree trunks of the places where we're reintroducing the snails. And the snails, not liking salt barriers, will mm-hmm. crawl away from them and remain safe on the other side. So there are other things that we're doing to help kind of control those new threats, as well as any threats that might be lingering sort of in the background. Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of generational work. Like, it takes a long time. With this recent discovery of in the wild born Partula snails, is there something, maybe a picture that someone has taken that is now up, you know, in the insectarium or in the space where you work, to kind of give you a little bit of a boost of energy to get to whatever the next step will be?
So we actually do have a beautiful painting illustration of all of the snails, all the species of Partula that were once found in Tahiti and Moorea that we have in our hallway. And I actually keep in my office a lot of the original correspondences from when the snails were being brought into human care. So I was actually looking at those this morning, because being able to hold some of those physical letters and physical documents of when that program actually was getting off the ground, it's just a really humbling reminder of what we are now part of and the work that we're continuing to move forward. Mm-hmm.
Kayla Garcia is the Zoological Manager of Invertebrates at St. Louis Zoo. Kayla, thank you so much for joining us today, and congratulations.
Thanks so much for having me.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury,
with production assistance from Jada Jones. Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Foyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.